Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
It would seem that spring has arrived. It's been amazing this weekend, hey? Now, I've lived long enough in the Lower Mainland to not get too confident that spring has arrived, you know. I'm trying not to get too overexcited and invested and, you know, put away all my fall winter clothing. I'm trying to, but this weekend has been absolutely magnificent. I love that Easter falls in the springtime because Easter and spring have so many shared themes. It's about new life. It's about, you know, buds on trees beginning to burst forth. It's about things that have been dormant or the things that have been dead suddenly bursting with new life. I was thinking this weekend, I wonder what it's like to celebrate Easter in the Southern Hemisphere, like our brothers and sisters in South Africa or Australia, because at this moment they're heading into the fall, nature is winding down into dormancy. So it's kind of an interesting thing to think about. But for us, it's in the springtime, and I love that. Now, yesterday morning, because I woke up and saw what kind of weather it was, I'm like, I got to go for a walk. And so I went for a long walk. Well, honestly, I walked to Starbucks and, kind of sat there for a long, long coffee, okay? But I did have to walk home. But it was so interesting to spend a few minutes and just people watch. And if I had to describe kind of the feel of people yesterday at Starbucks, the word that I would use is giddy. I saw so many shorts and sandals. Now, let's be honest, some people do that in January around here. But people were like springing out their little tiny sundresses that, to me, it felt a little premature. But I mean, it was almost like the sun is out, I'm grabbing it, and I'm going to wear, you know, shorts, tank tops, those kinds of things. On my walk, I saw grandmas pushing brand new babies in strollers, and the grandmas are just alive with love and pride for these precious new ones. I saw furniture being delivered by the brick. Unfortunately, the truck did not stop at my house. I went by the baseball diamond and saw all these kids at batting practice. I actually saw my husband playing tennis. You looked good. Really good. I saw people getting out into their yards and, getting into gear, cleaning out the flower beds, clearing it of the winter debris. And we didn't start that, but I saw, this is really cool, I saw three generations of men working on a grandson's beater of a truck in the front driveway. And I saw the grandpa kind of, you know, sharing his wisdom and knowledge to this young grandson that was just had so much to learn. I did see a few houses with Christmas decorations. Most notably, a house that had a front door plaque that read, "Let it snow." Honestly. 216th, check it out. It was crazy. I thought, wow, they haven't gotten the memo. Like the rest of us are in our, you know, shorts and flip-flops. And here they are saying, let it snow, you know. But I am confident that they too will get caught up with what's going on. My favorite sight was seeing a grandpa with big earphones that was attached to something. I'm thinking an iPod, a smartphone, I don't know. But he was walking down Walnut Grove Drive, listening to something and singing. And I thought to myself, oh, yeah, you are. You sing it out. Like, it just brought so much joy because, you know, it was just this. It was almost like I was watching Walnut Grove taking a collective breath to take newness in. After a long, dark winter where we despaired that it would never end. Remember January and February. Where we were displaying, and suddenly, in a moment, spring has come. Our theme for Easter is Easter means that God is love. God demonstrated his love by giving his life as a sacrifice through the cross, which Doug talked about last week. And we've reflected on more this past Friday. The Father sent his Son is this powerful statement of the supreme evidence of God's love for us, where Jesus willingly experienced the separation from the Father and took on our sin, took on our brokenness, went to the cross and died. And he did this so that we could become children of God, we could be friends of God, and it was like he built a bridge between God and us. So Easter is love. But the love didn't end at the cross. The love didn't end in death, because as Doug read that first scripture at the top of the service, early on the Sunday morning after Jesus' death, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, another gospel tells the story, and found that the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. And I imagine the women there confused and grief-stricken, looking around going, I thought we were on to something really big, and where is he? And then in a moment, Jesus appears to Mary and she is blown away and she runs to the disciples and says one of the most profound statements when she says, I have seen the Lord. Though Christ died, I have seen him. He is resurrected, and this resurrection is a further expression of his love. Let's read from our text today out of 1 John to continue on the series, but I've only got 10 minutes, so we're not going to spend tons of time. But in chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, it says this. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. Do you notice this reciprocal language that is found in this text? This sense that we are in God, he is in us. Verse 13, we live in him and he in us. Verse 15, those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. A major theme for John throughout this book is life. Now, the original audience, they were people just like us. Different time, different place, but, you know, the more I get to know people, I realize it doesn't matter who you are, when you were from, or where you're from, people are people. They were people living day to day, trying to feed their families. They were seeing the impact of their sinfulness in their lives and in those around them. They were experiencing conflict within their families, neighbor to neighbor, nation to nation. They were trying to make sense of this world. They were people asking the age-old question, is this all there is? With a deep sense that there must be something more. They sound just like us. And it's into this audience that John keeps talking about life. He does this because the substance of Christianity, if you kind of boil it down, it's about life. Romans chapter 4. Read along with me, would you? Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Romans 6. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. 1 Corinthians 15. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Who's getting excited? Okay, well, let's bring it to this next one, 2 Corinthians 5. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Colossians 2. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. That's just a sampling You go all through the epistles and you will see this life, this life, this life. See the power that raised Christ from the dead. The resurrection power, which we talked about, or we actually sang about this morning. That power that was able to take a person who was dead and raise them to life in that moment, that is the power that God shares with all who would receive him. Now, the word life, the original Greek word is zoe, is defined as eternal life. And unfortunately, the church really limits what eternal life means. For a lot of us, eternal life just means, okay, I'm going to get to heaven. Okay, I receive Christ and suddenly I'm going to get to heaven. And I remember as a child thinking about heaven and I kind of didn't want to go. Because to me, heaven meant you go to church for like eternity. Who wants to do that, right? We have this limited feeling of what eternal life is. And absolutely, our future is a glorious future with the reigning Christ where we will live with him forever. But it's more than that. It is not just living forever, but eternal life is living the life that God himself lives. It's sharing in the quality of life that he lives, and we're invited into it. So what kind of life does God live? Well, we could be here all morning, but I'm going to give you little snippets. The life he lives is filled with grace, where we find freedom from our mistakes, where we receive forgiveness for our sins. And when we fall down and mess up or whatever, his grace is heaped on us and saying, get up, get going. It is a life full of peace, where we're set free from our fears, where we're set free from our anxieties. When we wonder who is in control, we can know that God is in control and he is pulling it all together. He's the Logos. It is a life of power. You want to talk resurrection power? A power where the victory of God through all of our circumstances is ours as well. So we don't have to live defeated lives trying to just make it through and let's just get to death. We can actually live lives of victory because we serve King Jesus and he reigns. It is a life of holiness, where we no longer need to be a slave of sin and pushed around by the habits and temptations that honestly, if we get really real, simply rob us of what we really want. The life God lives is all about love, where upon understanding how loved we are by the Father, when we understand how accepted we are, that we don't have to get our stuff together in order to be accepted by him, but he loves us simply because we are his children, then we are actually free to love others and we can love others free of hatred and bitterness. That's the life God lives. It is a life of purpose, where we understand that there is a reason that we're here, and it is not to get a good job, to buy a house, and to save for retirement. Where actually we're invited into the purposes of God, bringing his justice, his salvation, his message, his gospel to all that are on this earth. And finally, the life that God lives is all about new beginnings, where what feels like a train wreck is rebuilt into something brand new. Where we receive healing from our past, where no matter what our circumstances, no matter where we've been, who we don't know, a new start is always possible. See, this is life. This is the life we've always wanted. And God says, come to me and receive that through Jesus. You will find it. This is why I love Easter. See, the resurrection was not just a moment in time. Yes, it happened. The physical resurrection, we can look back, point to it, and say that's what happened. But sometimes we think of it just as this, you know, moment in history that's kind of got, you know, dust and cobwebs all over it. When in actual fact, the resurrection is today. The resurrection is now, because the physical resurrection of Jesus, who is alive, still alive, ushered in a new reality. And we don't have to wait for heaven. We can experience the life that God lives here and now. Jesus was raised so that we can be raised. Now we're about to baptize. And baptism is really just a symbol of what's already happened in the spiritual realm. Those being baptized will go down into the grave. Their old life will be down into the grave, as it were. And then as they were raised, it will be the symbol of them being raised up to life. This life is for every tribe, every tongue, every nation. This life is for you. And maybe you've never considered Jesus before. Maybe you just came as a, you know, with your mom, with your friend, with whoever, to this Easter service. And we just want to say to you, consider this resurrected Christ. Consider this fact that perhaps you would open your heart, open your life to his life that he wants to share with you. Verse 14 says, you know, we've seen with our own eyes, which John was actually talking about the original apostles, them actually seeing Jesus. But I tell you, walking with Jesus, I have seen him. I have experienced his transformation in my own life, and so many of you in this room have. So we've seen with our own eyes, and we now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. May we testify. May the message never lose its impact in our lives. He is risen. Death could not hold the Lord of life. He is alive. Amen, amen, amen. Now let's baptize.